When I went to Mongolia as a missionary, we got up every morning. We went to work. My wife was my translator. When I was a car painter, we wasn't married, and she was just my translator. I never learned the Mongolian language. Can you imagine that I wouldn't learn that language? I'm still working on English right now when I get through that. I'll start on Mongolian. But God worked it out for us. He had a plan for what we were doing with him. I wouldn't recommend anybody in here going to a mission field not learning the language. I don't recommend that. But for me and my wife, it worked really well. It worked out good. And one of the reasons I think it did is Mongolians, the country of Mongolia, has a different mindset than we do. One of the things that separates cultures is logic and reason. Those two things are what separates cultures. Mongolians, their logic and reason are totally different than ours. You have to structure your sentences different. The mindsets are different. I'm trying to explain it to you. Let me see how I could explain that. If you tell a Mongolian, this is just an example, that this book is sitting on this table, on this pulpit, they would say the pulpit sitting under the book. Just total different way of reasoning and logic and sentence structure. So my wife was very instrumental when she would translate for me when I would preach or teach. She could not change the gospel, but word it where Mongolians understood it and their sentences and their mindset, the way that they think and talk. I think that's the way God used it. And the reason I say that, I know about three Americans that are missionaries there that learned the Mongolian language. And one of them, I'm not going to say his name, but he left Mongolia, but he stayed there about 10 years and started a church. And he planted a church, and me and my wife and my father-in-law, who used to be our head pastor, he passed away last year at the same time my dad did, or close to it. His name was Shagdarjob. And me and my wife and him went to this missionary's church, and he preached in Mongolian. When we left the church, I asked my wife and my father-in-law, I said, how was that sermon? Was that a good message? And both of them said, he spoke Mongolian, but I didn't understand a word he said. He said everything he said just didn't make any sense because he didn't know how to speak to Mongolians through their language because he was not a Mongolian. And I'm not saying the guy was wrong. God used him to do a lot of stuff in that country. But I'm not using that as an excuse. All of that came to me after I didn't learn the language. I didn't learn the language because I'm dumb and just couldn't learn the language. I tried, and I just couldn't learn the language. I tried for several months to take it and barely got to learn how to say hello, after several months of language school. So God used my inefficiencies to bless the ministry and use in a mighty way. And our ministry just in the country of Mongolia, our ministry's baptized over 2,000 people. Not me, but the ministry that me and my wife started. My dad was in Thailand. When I went to Mongolia, Dad kind of just gave me the ministry, and he stayed in Thailand and oversaw that ministry, and I would get with him. He would come to Mongolia, and we would work together for a month or so, and then he'd go back to Thailand or back to the States. So the Mongolian ministry, Dad, when he went to that country, started a free hospital, which you're going to see on the video, free hospital care to nomads, and he planted our first church, which is still there today. We call that our home church. God used him to plant that church. Jesus plants churches. We just help. Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. Not Mitch Tillman's not going to build a church or Tommy Tillman, but Jesus builds it. We're just there proclaiming the gospel. There's something very strange when people get saved, no matter where you're at. They all want to meet and congregate together. That's just part of being, that's just in people that are saved. That's part of salvation, is to assemble together and work and hang out together and be friends and share God's love with each other. So Mongolians do it, and we just organize it. We're there to help organize it. We train pastors, not because I teach anybody how to preach. I'm not a good preacher. When I got saved, I learned to preach in Mongolia. So I'm not an American preacher. I don't get up and preach like American pastors do because I'm not an American preacher. I'm a Mongolian preacher. And I work with a translator. So So when I preach and my wife translates, I only preach about 15 minutes because she does the other part translate. So today we'll be through about 30 minutes early. So that's a good one. I'll get out of here. So we baptized in this ministry just since I've been working there, over 2,000 people. When I first went there, we baptized 15 people the first year I was there for a whole year. And then those people went out and led people to the Lord and built a ministry, and then they started baptizing. I've only baptized a handful after the initial 15. I let them do it. It's their people. They led them to the Lord. We trained them how to do it. I let them baptize. I'm not going to baptize their own folks. We're in Mongolia and Thailand to teach them to do it. Right. Not for us to hang on to it and micromanage it. We let God handle it. We have people work with us and they say, I've not been doing this long enough. What if I make a mistake? I say, well, we fix it. Just don't make vital mistakes. You know, just don't get out and bring a bad light on Christ or on the gospel. You know, don't do that. Of course, we can fix all the other stuff. So we don't micromanage. We let Mongolians do it, and we train them to do it. We train our pastors not by teaching them to preach, but by teaching them how to divide the word of, how to divide the word of truth. Because Mongolians have no commentary Bibles. Nothing, no commentaries, no books. So when you open, they have a Bible they open. You know what the Mongolian Bible is? It's an NIV that's been translated from English to Mongolian. That's their Bible. You talk about a mess. So we have to teach these guys the Bible with King James, but we translate it. When we teach out of this, we bring a lot of work truth to their Bible, and they make corrections in it as we go. But my mother-in-law, who just passed away, she was working with First Bible International, translating a Bible from the Greek and Hebrew. The King James Bible, we're not going to get into all the translations. That's a job in itself, if y'all know anything about translations. It's for English-speaking people. You can't translate the King James Bible from English to Mongolian. There's a lot of words in here that don't exist in Mongolian. So you have to go back to the original. That's according to Charles Keene, if y'all know him. He's a full-fledged Bible translator. He explained it to me. Just said that you can't do that and get an accurate translation. So they use the King James as a guide. The way that it's translated, they do the same thing in Mongolia. But they've got a New Testament translated, and we're working on, they're doing the corrections and proofreading on that. Now I've been doing that for 4 years. Proofreading the New Testament. They're right in the middle of translating the Old Testament. So hopefully by the time I'm dead, Mongolia have a good Bible they can lean on. They've been doing it now for 10 years. So I don't know how much longer they got. But we pray to God to get that done soon. So we started pro-life centers. We're going to show it in a video in just a minute. The video is only about 4 minutes long, so I want to kind of explain it to you. Thailand, we don't have any of the Thailand work on our video because we haven't got really buried. Dad's only been gone for a couple of years, going on 2 years, and the COVID kind of got everything messed up where we're not being able to spend a whole lot of time there. But we have a really good guy that's overseeing that ministry, a Thai man, and our Thai pastor that we have went and worked with a couple months. And they're good folks that were working with Dad. We have 10 lepers now. And me and my wife started overseeing the Thai ministry when Dad went down. We were down to 6 lepers. And leprosy in Mongolia and Thailand now, there's a cure for it. If y'all know what leprosy is, but you have to take the drugs soon when you first get it. If you wait too long, there's not a cure for it. And the government started helping lepers by giving them money where they can stay home with their families. When Dad went there, leprosy was raging, and he had several leper colonies and leper churches, but all of that slowly disappearing, and you've got just a handful of lepers now that fall through the cracks, and the only one leper colony in that country now still harbor evangelism leper colony is called Home of Grace. And we have 10 lepers. We had to go in there and remodel the facilities. And what we do is we bring in, when one of the lepers die, we bring in another one that we can house and share the gospel with. All these lepers come to us that are unsaved. And we have daily Bible studies with them and Sunday church services with our Thai pastor. And since we've been working there, we've had to bring three new ones in, and we're up to 10, from 6 to 10. We've added a couple more, and all of them have professed to be saved. They make professions. Now, we don't know who really gets saved and who don't. God knows, but we don't know. But according to our workers and the people there, they say they believe they've been saved. When they pass, we bring a new one. So it's a steady flow of lepers coming in that we get to share the gospel with and take care of, because they have nowhere to live. It's people that have no, that don't have money, they have no families, and they have leprosy. So God lets us have that ministry there to help those folks that he wants to help too, not just us, but he does. So we kept that ministry going. And as long as we can afford it, as long as churches keep support coming in, we'll keep that ministry going. Our Mongolian ministry, God uses us to do a lot in Mongolia. God has really allowed us to build a ministry for his glory. All of our outreach ministries in that country are gospel-centered. We don't do anything just to do it. We don't have pro-life centers just to help save babies. That's part of it, because job's greatest creation is us. And if we're murdering us, then we're fighting him. We're fighting against God by destroying his greatest creation, which is us, formed in his image. So we have four pro-life centers. We had five. We had to close one, but we're going to, because of the location, we were not getting a lot of people coming in. So we're buying a new one. While my wife's there, we're going to build a new one, which will be five total. We have 5 to 20 women every day come in each one of those centers. Every day that we get to share the gospel with and to help them save their babies. My last newsletter had a photo of a young lady that was the first, if y'all should get it here this month, the first baby that we were able to save. The mother sent a picture of this young lady who now is about 5 or 6 years old, and thanked us for saving her baby, where she has her baby. And then we have an orphanage where we have 30 to 40 children. It kind of fluctuates. It's a baby orphanage with babies, small children. We have a school in that orphanage for the children. We've adopted more than 200 children internationally and locally out of there, because Mongolia is a very corrupt country. Very difficult to adopt children from the country. We were told by the U.S. Embassy not to start an orphanage there because of the corruption, but God has used it to get my 3 children, and I praise God for that. I love my children. And we've planted 5 churches that have Mongolian pastors. We have 3 feeding centers. One of them out by the city dump, you'll see it in the video, is called the Hope Center, where that we feed 50 young children a day, all of them from early teens down to small children. We feed 50 a day that either live inside the dump or outside the city landfill. Most of them, if they live with their parents are drunks and alcoholics and drug addicts, and they come to our center and they hear the gospel and they see that somebody loves them and feeds them one good meal a day. We have 2 feeding centers in the Gobi Desert where we feed 80 children in those 2 centers and 2 villages a day. We have 3 Gobi churches out in the middle of the Gobi Desert. You ever heard of the Gobi Desert? Anybody? Very, very distant, very isolated desert. When Dad went there, one of the reasons I went there, and I'll bring it up in the sermon today, is that I met people that never heard the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? And that's what called me there. The reason I went there was that I was thinking, standing out in the desert, I said, you know, it only took me 2 days to get here, and there's no missionaries out here. I don't know any. Y'all know a Mongolian missionary? Anybody know one other than me? You just don't see them. Like you go, I don't know, but just a few in Mongolia, especially Baptist missionaries that are over there. Not very many. So that's why God called me there. I wanted to go where the gospel was not known. And when you meet somebody that don't know Jesus or has never heard the name of Jesus or the gospel or the Bible, that's strange. They have no culture, no God in their culture. We do in this country. you couldn't imagine what that's like to have be born and raised with and that don't believe anywhere in a God and a creator in God. Nowhere. Your whole, everything about you is different. Everything about you. That's the way it is in Mongolia. We have our feeding centers. We have two rescue missions because of alcoholism. We have our pro-life center. We have a yearly summer camp where we baptize people that get saved during the year because Mongolia is a very cold country, about 30, 40 below zero at night. All the rivers freeze and they only thaw out about June. So we have summer camp in June or July. We don't have indoor baptismal pools. Like churches in America, we just normally meet in a building somewhere. Nobody has indoor baptismal pools, so we have to baptize in the one river that goes through the capital city because of the desert, where we're a very desertish. So God has used us to plan a lot of works. What else am I missing, Mr., before we try to show the video? I can't remember. God's got us doing so much over there sometimes, especially when I don't get a lot of sleep. I can't remember. But some of it's going to be on the video today, and I'm going to go ahead and show that if I can. Remember now, I made this video to show in churches that as the ministry shifts from Dad to me and my wife, and I hope God leads y'all to continue to support the work. You're welcome to come to Mongolia or Thailand, either one. If you ever go on a missions trip, we can house you and feed you. But you got to get your own airfare, the most expensive part. You'll have to cover that. We can do the other part of it. So in the beginning of this video, and then when I show it, I'm through. We'll just close with that. But in the beginning of the video, a Mongolian guy made it, an unsaved man. Not a lot of Christians in Mongolia, very small amounts. We got him to make it, and he makes all this introduction to it like trying to make a little movie. But he, when we were out in the desert, he brought out a drone, broke a drone out, was flying it around videoing. So I don't want y'all to think we're fancy or anything. We're not. That was his idea. I said, you got a drone? I just want to talk into the camera, buddy. We don't do all this. But he didn't speak English. So I introduced the ministry for about 5 minutes. I had an introduction to the ministry, how Dad started it and what we're doing there. Because we got a lot of videos, little video clips in here, not photos. And so he spliced my introduction and made 2 sentences that said the identical thing is back to back. So that's what happened in the front of this video. I didn't produce it or direct it. So you can go ahead and show it if you want. I'm through, and we'll just bring a message in church today and hope everybody attends. All right, thank you.
Hello, I am Mitch Tillman with Harbor Evangelism, and we're standing today in the middle of the Gobi Desert. My father started this ministry over 30 years ago, right here in the Gobi Desert where I'm standing today. Thank you.
this is Baljima Tilman. I'm from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I'm standing from front of our orphanage. So we have 34 babies from 0 to 5. Our orphanage was founded in 2004, so we adopted internationally and locally about 200 children.
Our